Maggie Holzberg, folklorist with the Massachusetts Cultural Council. A key part of my job involves traveling throughout the state where I look for people carrying on traditions handed down to them. These folk art traditions could be related to music or dance or working the land, but often the most powerful folk art is the making of sacred craft. Ksenia Pokrovsky is the keeper of such a tradition. She creates Russian Orthodox icons. To the untrained eye, her icons are striking in their starkness, the vibrancy of their pigments, layers of gold and cinnabar, and their apparent lack of perspective. Icons are said to be images of the invisible and to have enormous spiritual significance. For artists like Ksenia Pokrovsky, writing icons is just as much an act of worship as it is a work of art. Ksenia works out of her home, a two-story rambling house in Sharon, Massachusetts. I visited with her and her apprentice, Marek Sarnecki, in January of 2001. After arriving, I was led to a second-floor studio. The large room has dormered windows, which let in ample natural light. One wall is completely filled with shelving, holding small bottles of powdered pigment. There are icons everywhere, some triptychs, some in various stages of completion. Ksenia works with only natural materials, a piece of linen attached to a wood panel with animal glue, a gesso base made from marble, gold leaf gilding, and paints made from rocks, ore, minerals, and gems, many of which she grinds and refines herself. It was over 30 years ago that Ksenia left a career as a research scientist to study iconography. This was at a time when the old method of writing icons was nearly lost in Russia.
We came here in the United States as a political refugee. I was born in Russia. I grew up in Moscow. And I was educated, it's funny, but I was educated as a scientist, a biophysicist or molecular biologist, or that stuff. But after 2 years of work in Academy of Science, I understood that it's not for me. To be a scientist, it's not my way for my life. And my spiritual director, Father Alexander Min, who was murdered in 1990, he was killed by Russian fascists because he was Jew. And he recommended me, if I want to stop my scientific work, I have to start to write icons. And it was in end of 60s. And I tried, I started. And little by little, now it's my experience is more than 30 years. That's what can I say about me?
Ksenia is humble about her calling, but she's revered by her apprentice, Marek, who tells us about why he wanted to study with her.
I'm a student of iconography, and I needed a good teacher, because iconography is not something you can learn on your own. And iconography is made of this idea of a canon, of a body of knowledge. And I learned that it's not something you can just pick up in a book. It's something that somebody has to show you. So I was studying with another iconographer, and I had seen Ksenia's work in a monastery and just thought it was so amazing. I just was immediately drawn to it.
What was it in Ksenia that drew you to want to study with her in particular?
Oh, it was what was apparent in her work. You know, it was so balanced. It was so harmonious. And then the looks on the faces of the saints were so compassionate. It's a living experience, you know. It's a living thing. And it's not something you can pick up like a correspondence class, you know, and it's much smarter than you, it's much bigger than you, and it's something that a simple document can't transmit, you know. And there's also just, it's really small stuff, like the way Ksenia can hold a brush, the kind of brushes she uses, you know, the way she makes her marks. It's very different than I would have even, like, guessed. You know, and it's not something you can see in the piece. You have to see how it's constructed.
Organic is a good word for Ksenia's icons. A local carpenter makes icon boards for her with seasoned wood. Instead of store-bought paint, Ksenia grinds natural pigments, mixing them with egg tempera to create a palette of over 100 natural colors. She brings out a box full of stones, then dumps them onto the floor. Stones of dark purple, green, pink, yellow, okra. Using a cylindrical pestle, she crushes small bits of stone into a fine powder. This she sands onto a glass plate and then mixes with water. With a fine razor, she scrapes the plate, gathering up the pigment. First-time viewers might confuse icons with fine art painting, but Ksenia makes it very clear that she does not consider it painting, but a way of writing.
We never say, I paint icons. I write icons, he writes icons, because icon, it's not picture. It's principally not picture. It's some theological text. And that text must be written grammatically correct. Grammatically correct, I mean in correct terms, in correct movements, because position of hands, for example, always means something. It's some very special, it's like to study and to use a new language. And that language was very common in Middle Ages, but little by little, when iconography start to lose sacral meaning and sacral heart and became more and more secular, that language of iconography becomes not so easy understandable. And now we have to study that language practically from beginning.
Although there is some room for artistic interpretation, the religious purpose of iconography takes precedent over making any personal artistic statement.
The iconography, it's not your personal spiritual experience. It's not your personal vision of invisible world. It is church visual. It's church understanding. And in your icon, you express not your understanding, but church's understanding of being, of universe, of meaning of life, of meaning of death, of meaning of eternity, and everything.
So what is it that the individual brings to the icon? If it's not your vision, what is it you're bringing to it?
Your character, your temperament, your your manner, artistic manner, your talent, and your understanding of balance between between artistic and spiritual.
But it's also like it's intuitive. Better to be conservative than to be.
It's better to be conservative. You must be extremely careful because you can change something a little, but theological meaning can change. In Byzantium, when somebody wrote some icon, it was like custom or tradition. If he wrote some new icon, he must to put this icon in church, where everyone can see that church. If somebody will see some heresy in that icon, he must write letter to bishop. I think that is something heretical. If during 40 days nobody will tell about something heretical, icon becomes blessed by church.
Religious significance provides guidance for the creation of icons, but it was also the reason for their being banned in Russia. Ksenia, who came to the U.S. as a political refugee from the former Soviet Union, explains how the Soviets burned millions of icons and forced religious expression underground.
They burned millions of icons. They burned millions. And only after they discovered that Russian icons became like currency, they can sell outboard of Russia, they started to collect. But before, you could find icon of 14th century on the street or in some barn or in some wood storage. But in 30s, most of them were burned. And Byzantine icons and Russian icons and 15th, 16th, 17th centuries, they were burned. They need storage room for...
There's lots of stories of icons being cut apart and used for stairs and for watering troughs and being nailed up to use as, you know, to close off windows just because the wood was so sturdy. But that its sacred meaning being, you know, just completely secondary to its utilitarian possibilities as scrap wood.
You know, when I started in the end of 60s, practically we had... we had more iconographers than we knew. But it was crime to write icons in Russia, in Soviet Union. It was crime equal to make weapon, to make drugs, to make pornography, and to write icons. It was four equal crimes.
Why?
I had these books because it was religious propaganda.
Subversive.
And it was danger like drugs and like weapon. And they were right. It was really...
Icon writing is beginning to flourish after years of barely surviving underground, thanks to artists like Ksenia Pokrovsky. I'm Maggie Holzberg with the Massachusetts Cultural Council. If you would like to see examples of Ksenia Pokrovsky's icons, you can visit her website at izograph.com. That's izograph.com. This has been the fifth in a continuing series exploring folk arts and heritage in Massachusetts. This segment was produced with the help of intern Nolan Warden. For more information, visit massculturalcouncil.org. And if you know of a cultural treasure in your community that we should know about, please call us at 617-727-3668.
Commonwealth Journal is a weekly production of WUMB-FM Radio at the University of Massachusetts Boston. This special series was developed in cooperation with the Massachusetts Cultural Council. Funding has been provided by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Massachusetts. Our engineer is Dave Palmatier. Danielle Knight is our assistant producer. Lisa Hickler is our associate producer. And our executive producer is Patricia Monteith. I'm Barbara Neely. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at 617-287-6913 or on the web at wumb.org/Commonwealth Journal. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next week for Commonwealth Journal.